ladies and gentlemen. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast, and we are back. And now your host, Max McGuire.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Our call-in number, 888-441-1121, if you want to call in. Talking about some of the terrible stuff of the Biden administration's first days, taking callers some questions about the path forward. I want to do a little bit of a sidestep now and talk about news that broke yesterday. Amazing timing. That coronavirus tests are being processed in a way that could lead, I have to be very careful how I say this, could lead to an increase in false positives. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. This is a tweet from Andy Swan saying, literally 1 hour after Biden takes the oath, the WHO admits that PCR testing at high amplification rates alters the predictive value of the tests and results in a huge number of false positives. And then the text is, target audience is laboratory professionals and users of IVDs. Purpose of the notice, clarify information previously provided by the WHO. This notice supersedes WHO information notice for in vitro diagnostic medical device users from earlier in the year. The basic gist of it is WHO guidance states that careful interpretation of weak positive results is needed. The cycle threshold needed to detect virus is inversely proportional to the patient's viral load. Where test results do not correspond with the clinical presentation, a new specimen should be taken and retested using the same or different NAT technology. WHO reminds IVD users that disease prevalence alters the predictive value of test results. As disease prevalence decreases, the risk of false positive increases. This means that the probability that a person who has a positive result is truly infected with SARS-CoV-2 decreases as prevalence decreases, irrespective of the claimed specificity. So what does this mean? What does this mean? I'm going to try and break it down. I've done a lot of reading on it, trying to understand all of it. What does this mean? So the cycles, how much effort is put into trying to find the virus in these samples? The less virus there is in it, right? The cycle threshold needed to detect the virus is inversely proportional to the patient's viral load. Meaning, if you have a low viral load, meaning you're barely sick or you're asymptomatic, you have a low viral load, you need to process that test more with more cycles in order to find the virus. So the number of cycles that they were using, according to this new WHO guidance, they're recommending that they reduce it. Because when you have a lot of cycles, what happens is you're searching for a little bit of virus. If you search extra, extra hard, you're going to find that little bit of virus. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a positive. It could be a trace amount, right? So this is literally an hour into Biden's administration, and the WHO is telling testing centers to change how they process tests, and that if a positive comes back, where it doesn't really make sense, they're not symptomatic, no other symptoms, and it's coming back positive, to test them in a different way with fewer cycles. Because again, if they have barely any virus in their system, more cycles could end up giving you a false positive. What does that mean? Well, that means that the number of tests of positive cases, that becomes very suspect. Because again, if the WHO is making this recommendation saying that if you do it this way, the way you've been doing it, you can have false positives, that immediately calls into question not only the positive test results, the total case numbers that we've seen thrown across the airwaves every day, it also calls into doubt death statistics. Because if the only link between a death and COVID-19 is that positive test result, is entirely possible that people could have died from other causes, had a trace amount of COVID-19 in their system, and are being labeled as a COVID death because of that false positive. So what's going to happen now? They're going to change how they process COVID-19 tests. And they're not going to run as many cycles, and therefore not get as many false positives. So what's that going to look like for the graph? Let me see if I can put up the graph right now. COVID cases. Let's see if I can find it. Here we go. So this is, Mr. Bruce, go ahead and put up my screen. This is the graph. It's already on the way down. It makes you wonder whether or not they might have been implementing this there. But if they change, I guarantee you, if they change, which they're now required to, at least WHO labs, if the CDC follows suit and they change how COVID-19 tests are processed, you are going to see a sharp drop-off in the number of reported positive cases. Now, that doesn't mean the virus is going away. It's a real virus. It exists. People are getting sick. Some people are dying from it. We've always had questions over whether that many deaths are truly associated with it, but it's a real virus. The case numbers, though, if the case numbers that we see here, these record high cases, even down here, if they have all been basically amplified by false positives, which many people have suspected for months, and all of a sudden they change the process to remove those false positives from the data, you will see this graph plummet. It'll plummet. And the reporting will be that Joe Biden saved America. Look how bad it was under Donald Trump. Look how good it was under Joe Biden. They wasted no time. Why didn't they put that out 2 days ago? Why didn't they put that out 3 days ago? Why didn't they say, yeah, that might be what's happening months ago when us and other conservative commentators were bringing this issue up? They waited until Joe Biden was inaugurated president to release this, saying that the way we've been testing may be adding additional false positives to the total number of cases. Because the number of cycles that you run a test at is inversely proportionate to the viral load of the patient. People who are not sick at all, if you run the test that many times, that many cycles, you can find virus. I mean, they could run it a lot, and find something that resembles a COVID-19 virus. Absolutely. Because we know that other viruses, the way that the PCR tests are designed, other viruses in your system can trigger a false positive. It's not conspiracy theory. It's true. The way that what the test is looking for can be thrown off by the presence of other viruses in your system. So if you run 30, 40 cycles, yes, the odds of a false positive increase, not only by finding trace amount of COVID-19, but also misidentifying another virus. Interesting, right? So we're going to see the COVID-19 cases probably plummet. They already are, but we'll see them probably plummet even more. We'll probably see the deaths plummet because they won't have as many positive cases, positive tests to attribute to fatalities. And the Joe Biden will be the hero. The Joe Biden saved America. Joe Biden saved America because of his unifying message. A reminder, everyone, yesterday 4,367 people reportedly died as a result of COVID-19. Just want to remind everyone that those 4,400 people died as a result of Joe Biden's bad leadership. See how easy that is? See how easy it is to just blame one person for deaths in a big country like the United States? Oh, no, all Joe Biden's fault. Every single one. Because we know, based on the last year, whoever's president carries the blame. Sorry, Joe. 4,400. It's on you. Not my rules. I didn't make the rules. You did. And we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep reminding people, post it on Facebook, making sure everyone knows just how many people Joe Biden is responsible for killing through his ineptitude. It's a shame. It's a shame. If he didn't want to be blamed, he shouldn't have blamed Trump. Unbelievable. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. Joe Biden has, I just got an ad. It was a better picture. Joe Biden has replaced the Andrew Jackson portrait in the Oval Office and added a Cesar Chavez bust. Now, who was Chavez? Chavez was an immigrant advocate. He was a Hispanic immigrant advocate, but he was also someone who hated illegal immigration because he understood that illegal immigration hurts legal immigrants. It reduces wages. It adds new competition. Bringing people into the country illegally hurts the people who are here trying to find work. So it's very ironic that Joe Biden, in an attempt to pander to Hispanics, put Cesar Chavez's bust up in the Oval Office, not even understanding that when he signed that executive order saying that the Dreamers get to stay, that would have pissed Chavez off so much because he understood that when you bring new workers in to compete with existing workers for jobs, it doesn't help the existing labor force. It doesn't help. Our number, 888-441 1121. We're getting a lot of calls asking about Joe Exotic, why he wasn't pardoned. I don't have any kind of super insight into that. I don't know. I don't know whether Mitch McConnell also called the president and threatened to kill him if he pardoned Tiger King. I don't know. I do know that Joe Exotic's team had like a stretch pickup truck limo waiting to go. They had hired a hairstylist. They had brought all of his clothes and they were going to take him from the prison, do his hair in the limo, and he was going to do a press conference. They were very sure that he was getting a pardon. He didn't. Joe Exotic didn't. I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I'm sure we'll learn of it. They were very vocal for they were too vocal for me to believe that they were making it up, right? You wouldn't go through those motions unless you were sure of it, because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for them to basically have that blow up in their face. So I don't know what happened with Joe Exotic, but we'll keep trying to figure it out. I imagine it'll take a couple of days, if even that, if we ever do find out. But it's a good question. It's a good question. We'll keep looking into it. Jewel in the comment section on Facebook says, any news on the caravan? I haven't seen any news on the caravan yet. I know, and this is a report I saw, which is very, very troubling. It's that they have allegedly caught caravan migrants in possession of fraudulent COVID-19 negative tests. I'll say that again. They have allegedly found caravan migrants in possession of paperwork fraudulently claiming that they tested negative. I don't know if that's true. I've seen reporting on that, but it's understandable because these people tend to also carry other fraudulent paperwork, instructions from left-leaning organizations telling them how to get past U.S. security, what exactly they have to say, what keywords, magic words they need to utter in order to trigger certain asylum processes. This is all true, right? Pueblo Sin Fronteras, we talked about that on the show a little bit yesterday. They're an organization that, in coordination with other big NGOs, such as even the United Nations, have been caught coaching migrants. At that point, they're migrants because they, well, no, actually now they've crossed illegally into Guatemala, so they're illegal aliens, at least under Guatemalan law. They've been caught coaching them and teaching them what they need to say in order to get through all these countries and to the United States. So if they are in possession of fake fraudulent test results, that's really bad. And Christopher says, I don't want alleged, I want hard facts. Well, Christopher, if you want to fly down to Guatemala and interview the caravan, you're free to do it. Right now, I'm using the reporting elsewhere because I'm not in Guatemala. And I'm saying allegedly to make sure that I don't say something that's wrong. So anyone who wants to go down to Guatemala is free to do so, and they can ask the questions. Once we get the solid reporting, we'll talk about it. But it rings true because it isn't that far off from what we've seen happen with these migrants in these caravans in the past. We do have another caller coming in from California. He wants to talk about California and their taxes, trying to make it high to drive people out of the state. David, welcome to the show.
Hello, and thanks a lot for taking the call and you know, keeping the fight going. Yeah, so I'm from California, and it kind of looks like some of these policies that the politicians are doing here are purposely driven to create kind of like a hostile work environment or hostile environment towards corporations and maybe their employees or even people to drive them out of this state and into kind of like Republican-led states, you know, hence Arizona, maybe Texas. You know, if they could get enough of the citizens here and the companies to go back into those areas, turn those places blue. I mean, do whatever they need to do to get in power, you know, in Congress, they could just, you know, just back fund California with grants or whatever. So I don't know. Yeah. That's kind of my concern.
I don't deny that that's possible, right? I'm sure that there are people in Democratic circles who are strategizing that kind of stuff. Absolutely, I believe that. Whether or not this year states are doing that, I'm not sure I buy that. You just look at New York. New York is running a huge, huge deficit. They were going to run a deficit anyway. But the fact that they closed down their states and didn't allow anyone to do any business, they lost all that sales tax revenue, right? All that income tax, because companies aren't generating as much income. they shot themselves in the foot. I mean, yes, they're asking for the bailouts because they know that the lockdowns, if they are not bailed out, will probably result in state bankruptcy. I mean, that's how big of a deal these things are. And there's a net negative growth in these states. So more people are moving out than moving in places like California and New York. I think also New Jersey. So they're losing their tax base there. I know in California that they are trying to pass a law that would allow them to keep applying income tax to people who flee the state. So if you worked in the state, even if you leave the state and work in another state, that they would still be able to tax you even though you live in another state. So I'm sure that there are people who are scheming and saying, yes, this is great. But whether or not California and New York and states like that would deliberately drive themselves to the brink of bankruptcy, I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would do that this year. I think that they realize that they've lost so much revenue that if they send anyone else out, it's just going to be a nightmare. And the people who leave, yeah, there are people who leave California, go to Texas. That's the saying, don't California my Texas. But there also are sending a lot of business owners, conservatives out of the state too. So it's not necessarily just a complete Democrat exodus. It's conservatives as well.
Yeah, it just sounds really cynical what they're doing. And my concern is that they have more of a long-term strategy going, and we, you know, as conservatives, we might be looking more of a short-term thing. So that's just my concern there.
But thank you for taking it, Michael. Oh, thank you for calling in. I do appreciate it. It's entirely possible. I mean, listen, we heard in Georgia, Democrats calling on people to move to Georgia just so they could vote in the runoff. So it's not that crazy to think that there are people who would want the same thing to happen to turn other states blue. I mean, it's the same basic ask. Move here so that we can turn it blue. I don't know whether I'm there yet that they're deliberately imposing tax burdens so high to drive people out. I think that that's more of a consequence of failed tax and spend policies, realizing that you can't tax your way out of that hole, right? You can't promise the world and then tax everyone to get it. At some point, you have to cut spending. So that seems more indicative of digging themselves into that hole with their tax and spend policies than any grand overarching agenda to turn states blue. But I say that with also admitting that the same Democrats who are doing the tax and spending are also have been encouraging people to move places to win elections. So I'll say that just with that caveat. So we have so lots of action. I'm trying to keep, when Joe's not on, it's harder to follow every comment section. It's hard to follow every comment section. So I'm going to keep looking at some comment sections to see. DLive is going crazy right now. Not really sure what's going on over there. someone asking if we are on Rumble. Yes, this is going to be uploaded to Rumble. It'll be uploaded to Rumble today. I believe yesterday's was uploaded to Rumble as well. You can find us there, rumble.com/user/conservativedaily, all one word. So make sure you check that there. We will be posting it to Rumble. And we're also going to be getting started with GabTV. GabTV is a paid platform, so we're going to pay for the year and start uploading videos there. Probably what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the entire YouTube library of all of our past episodes and put them over on GabTV so we can at least have them there until we're ready to roll out our bigger platform, in-house platform, just to make sure that YouTube can't ban us and just take away all of our videos, because that would be a real, real shame. So this is the part where I said I was going to do it before. I want to do it again. I want to play the video of Joe Biden walking through the Marines and, instead of saluting the Marines, simply saying, salute the Marines. And I'll set this up, but it's very obvious someone either told him to salute the Marines or was speaking into his earpiece. But instead of doing it, he just repeated what he was being told. Really, really bad. There's really no way to make sense of this. But I said I would play it in each hour. I want to play it again. Let's go ahead and play one more time. Cut number two. Salute the Marines. That's the commander in chief not saluting the Marines, but instead just repeating what someone was, I would believe, whispering into his ear. Salute the Marines. This is bad, folks. That's bad. There's no way around it. This is that's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. John Bowen on DLive says Marines have a higher IQ. It's probably true, and that is not necessarily a glowing endorsement of the intelligence of the Marines. What do they get called by the Army? The crayon eaters? It's not necessarily a glowing endorsement of their intelligence, more of a attack on Joe Biden's lack of intelligence. But I know a lot of Marines. They're all smart guys. They even joke about how the Marines are the crayon eaters. But yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Joe Biden is not the sharpest tool in any shed. I don't think you'll find a shed where he's the sharpest. Tama on DLive says, LOL, that's what someone with severe senility does. The Marines and we the people deserve better. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. That's why he is, we can't talk about how he got into office anymore, but it's undoubted. There's no doubt in my mind anymore that he is truly a president in name only. Even what he does accomplish, it will not be his doing. It will be the puppet masters who do it. So we'll have to see. DC restaurants. This is interesting. Talk about COVID magically going away as soon as Joe Biden takes the oath of office. Go ahead, put up my screen, Mr. Producer. The latest news coming out that DC restaurants can reopen for indoor dining at limited capacity on Friday. So last Friday, it was too dangerous. This Friday, it's not too dangerous. Interesting how that works, right? We talked about this. There was a California official who, in a hot mic moment, was asked, when are schools going to go back to in session? And she said, well, not until after the election. Right? You would never put it in terms of the election unless there was a political connotation to it. And we saw also in D.C. D.C. did not reopen schools until the week after the election. It's all political. It's political, folks. Certainly not science. It's certainly not science. You can't say that the science is guiding the lockdowns, because the science now says that the lockdowns hurt more than they help. And that is not hyperbole. Let me just pull up the first ones that I found. Mr. Bruce put up my screen. New Stanford study, lockdowns have no clear benefit. A Stanford study comparing COVID responses in different countries found no clear significant beneficial effect from stay-at-home orders and business closures. That's not my words. Stanford, co-authored by I'm not even going to pronounce that. Jay Bhattacharya. There we go. A Stanford professor of medicine and economics who has been a vocal opponent of COVID lockdowns since March. The COVID lockdowns have no effect. Now, the left is saying, oh, well, this new study says we don't have to lock it down. No, this same guy was saying the same stuff back in March. You just didn't listen to him. They're listening to him now because they don't want Joe Biden to inherit an economy where there is no restaurant sector, where there is no hospitality sector, where there is no service sector of the economy. They don't want to do it. They know that they have to reopen, not just for Joe Biden's sake, but for their own sake. That if they don't reopen their economies, at least in some way, these businesses will never come back. You can't just tell a restaurant you're closed for a year and expect them to survive. We've said it on the show in the past, a lot of this stems from the leftist belief that every business owner in the back room or buried in a hole out behind their business has a secret stash of money. And that if only the business owners weren't so damn greedy, they'd be able to pay for things like $15 minimum wages, right? Are they able to give everyone really good health benefits? That's the leftist idea, that it's because of business owners' greed, hoarding their money away, that the employees get a bad stake in everything. What COVID-19 has shown is that's not true. Business owners don't have some secret stash of money. They work, they run on very small profit margins. And yeah, they have some money tucked away in reserves for rainy day funds, but none of them expect it to rain for an entire year. So they don't have enough money to store it away to pay everyone on payroll for a whole year. Plus, just takeout orders are going to keep us afloat. Like, the only person who would look at a restaurant and say, you can't do business normally, but don't worry, takeout will save you, obviously he's never worked in a restaurant or understands the economics of restaurant work. Takeout has always been a very small slice of what restaurants bring in. You don't have alcohol sales, right? People don't tend to tip on, some people do, a lot of people don't tip on takeout. because they're not getting that service. They're not getting their water refilled. They're not getting more bread put at the table. They don't feel like they deserve need to tip. So yeah, it was never going to save the restaurant industry. And I think that they knew that. I think that the left knew that. But they wanted to hurt Donald Trump. I mean, this has been politicized from the start. Just look at yesterday. Joe Biden, we'll put it up again. Ms. Bruce, put up my screen. This was Joe Biden's inauguration. But what you can almost see all the way in the back is they put 400,000 little flags on the National Mall. They're saying, we put these here to memorialize how many people died in the past year from COVID-19. Yeah, that's what the numbers say. But it's politicized. It's absolutely politicized. This man ran on the claim that Donald Trump was responsible for killing them all. There are leftists who truly believe that Donald Trump should be strung up on 400,000 counts of accessory to murder due to gross negligence. That's what the left actually believes. Not that. Yeah, it's horrible that it happened, but it's not one man's fault. No, they blame Trump. Guarantee you they won't blame Biden. And they definitely will not mention how Biden's inauguration was smaller than Trump's. Definitely. And they won't talk about the severe lack of social distancing. They won't talk about that either. We can go ahead and take that down, Mr. Producer. 888-441-1121 is our number. oh my goodness. So I'm not even going to talk about this because this is, we'll get taken down. But there's a new study coming out talking about the benefits of a certain drug that the media went crazy about, saying that Donald Trump had no business recommending it. They're now talking about using that in terms of early outpatient treatment for COVID-19. It was all set up. All of it. We knew it was. We called them out on it. And Mr. Producer just asked me in our little messenger that we have to talk to each other, will we get our fact checks retroactively reversed? No, we won't. Just like the fact checkers are never forced to edit their fact checks when they're proven wrong, right? The fact checkers who said there was not a single person storming the Capitol affiliated with Antifa in any way, shape, or form, those have not been edited. At least they weren't last time I looked at them. Have not been edited to clarify that, yes, there was one guy, it was John Sullivan, who had ties to Antifa, was arrested for property damage and storming the Capitol and interfering with law enforcement. Yeah. But they're not being forced to change their publications. They're not being forced to change their fact checks. They're just going to let them stand. Because it's not actually about the truth. It's about countering what they see as misinformation. I mean, Joe Biden said it in his speech. He accused us. I mean, this is where it really got crazy for me. Accusing people like us of being powerful people who lie for political gain and profit. I mean, we've been saying for weeks that we're working on getting advertisers onto the podcast. We've had a couple of sponsored shows over the last year. We haven't said anything for profit yet. I mean, we're still trying to build the show, right? Build an audience, a receptive audience, build a brand, and then work with advertisers to start monetizing it. This idea that we go live every day purely for profit, it's insanity. And the fact that they talk about people like us like that, and yes, the AP is going after podcasts now. The Associated Press wants to take down conservative podcasts. And they now are saying that there is a loophole in how misinformation is flagged, because podcasts being audio, it's harder to flag misinformation, which is true. Same with videos. It's harder to flag videos. Somehow they still do it because they still have their people watching us. But they want conservative podcasts just to be preemptively taken down for misinformation. That's the Associated Press. That's an organization that claims to be for freedom of speech. Yep, next they're going to be going after our ham radios. Next they're going to be going after our shortwave radios. They're going to be going after our carrier pigeons. So again, our phone number is 888-441-1121 if you want to call in. Talk about what happened the last day with Biden. Talk about anything, really. I'm shocked that we've reached this point. We all hoped that we wouldn't get here. But we knew that it probably would happen. I hope it would be 4 years from now. But apparently we now have a senile dementia patient in the White House. just doing whatever his leftist handlers tell him. Mr. Producer, do we have any word on Joe, if he's going to call in?
Have not heard from him. By now, he would have probably called in. I think he is. I just don't think he can get to the phone right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep the line open in case he does want to call in. But if not, we'll probably just have to hear from him tomorrow.
I did just send you a link to an article, though, because this is still interesting, even though Donald Trump is not president anymore. Nancy Pelosi is still pushing for the impeachment articles soon, but the trial is in limbo because I think they're looking for standing or ground. You would be the expert on that.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. I just pulled it up. You can put it on my screen. This is from Politico. Pelosi says she'll send impeachment articles soon with trial in limbo. This is kind of what she did last year. Actually, this would have been 2 years ago. Two Decembers ago. When she held back the impeachment articles from the Senate to try and time it so they would be happening right around Trump's State of the Union address. I don't think that she's doing this to try and find standing. I think she's doing this. One, she didn't want to send the article to the Senate when it was Republican controlled, because then you could actually have the Republicans do an up or down vote. It wouldn't have gone our way, right? You have cowards like Mitt Romney and the like who want to convict the president. But if she would have sent it when it was still in Republican control, the Republicans could have had an up or down vote and dismissed it without a trial. So she's waiting until Democrats took control, which happened yesterday when Kamala Harris was sworn in. She went over the Senate, cast the 51st vote to name Chuck Schumer as the Senate Majority Leader. No new faces. They just kind of switch, alternate like a metronome. No new faces. It's Chuck Schumer. So now that the Senate controls it, she can send it over to the Senate, and it'll be Democrat controlled, and Republicans will lack the 51 votes most likely to dismiss it. The challenge, though, is that the Senate also needs to confirm Joe Biden's nominees, his cabinet. Amazingly, the head of the director of national intelligence received, I think, 34 votes from Republicans to confirm him. When Donald Trump nominated Ratcliffe as his DNI, not a single Democrat voted for him. So obviously it's going to be very different. Republicans are not going to vote against Joe Biden's nominees. They're going to let him have his people. Whereas the last 4 years, there were vacancies. They left vacancies in the federal government. They left vacancies. They were executive positions that were never filled because Democrats refused to consent to have them be fast-tracked. Now Republicans are not even going to play the game. They're going to give Joe Biden whoever he wants. So that's another side of it too, because we know that once she sends the articles of impeachment to the Senate is required by law to start the impeachment process the very next day, the trial the very next day. So, and they cannot do any other business until the impeachment trial is concluded. And we know that based on the Senate's current rules, it's at least a week, because you have multiple days of testimony, of votes and such, and you have deliberation days, and you have the vote, final vote. So if she sent it over yesterday, they wouldn't have been able to spend today and tomorrow voting to confirm Joe Biden's cabinet officials. What we've been hearing from Nancy Pelosi is that she wants the trial to begin by the end of the week. So today's Thursday. So what that means is she either would send it today or tomorrow, with the trial starting on Saturday. We do know from Chief Justice John Roberts, he does not want to preside over Donald Trump's trial. Constitution only requires that the Chief Justice preside over presidential impeachments. Well, Donald Trump won't be president, so it won't be a presidential impeachment. But the impeachment articles target a president. We've never been in a situation like this before. There have been three moments in our history where there have been people who knew they were about to be impeached, resigned, the House impeached them after they resigned, and they were convicted after they resigned. Three times. It's happened three times in our history. The last time, I believe, was the Secretary of War. I forget which presidency, but there were three times. But each of those, the individual was indicted, impeached, and prosecuted, tried as a civilian. We've never had an instance where someone has been impeached as an official, but then prosecuted, tried as a civilian. We've never had that situation because, yes, the House of Representatives does have the right, according to tradition, to impeach people after they leave office. The question, though, is whether or not they have the legal authority to prosecute a civilian. I mean, we talk about the way the law is supposed to work, impeachment exists because, well, at least presidential impeachment exists because the DOJ has long and founders long held that a president cannot be indicted because it would create a constitutional crisis. It just can't happen. So the founders created impeachment as a mechanism for Congress to hold presidents accountable for high crimes and misdemeanors. If you can't be prosecuted in a court of law, you can be prosecuted in the halls of Congress. So the United States Congress does not have any other prosecutorial rights. They can target and impeach office holders, but that's it. If you're not an office holder, the jurisdiction is supposed to belong to the DOJ and the FBI. So the real question is, does the House of Representatives have the right to have impeachment managers go over to the Senate and basically prosecute a case against a civilian? Lots of people say no. Now, it's happened 3 times, but never when they were impeached as a president, then tried as a civilian. It's only happened 3 times, and there's never been really any clear determination on whether it's constitutional or not. They just kind of let it fly. Personally, I would say that in this case, the House of Representatives does not have the authority, does not have the jurisdiction that the case was filed the wrong way. I mean, this happens. This happens time to time. A case is filed the wrong way. The wrong office files charges, and they didn't actually have jurisdiction. It has to go another way. The House of Representatives, in my opinion, does not have the constitutional authority to impeach someone as president and then convict him as a civilian. If they wanted to, if they truly wanted to impeach him as a civilian and then prosecute him as a civilian, they would have a little bit better grounds. But still, I think it would be a violation because the House of Representatives does not have the constitutional authority to prosecute non-office holders. If a non-office holder committed a crime, a high crime or misdemeanor, that there are other law enforcement agencies who have that power. Congress could refer that person to the U.S. Attorney's Office for prosecution, which has happened many times over the years, especially in cases of perjury and lying before Congress. But Congress doesn't just have prosecutorial powers, which is what impeachment and the trial is. It's a congressional form of a prosecution. So if it goes today or tomorrow, that would trigger it to start immediately within 24 hours. That's the way it works. And we've covered people in the comments section saying truth is Trump did not incite violence. Absolutely correct. Donald Trump told them to go protest peacefully. Nothing, and we've covered this on past podcasts, nothing in his language could even be closely used to make an argument that he committed any kind of speech violation based on Brandenburg v. Ohio, which is the idea that if you want to charge someone with inciting a riot, they have to have clearly said something that would have created the possibility for imminent lawlessness, and they would have advocated it, right? You can't just say, he said peace, but I think he really meant violence. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. He would have had to literally incited violence, had the capacity for that violence to start, and it would have been imminent. So legally, they have no grounds at all. But that didn't stop them. They impeached Trump the first time over a phone call, claiming that he bribed someone when he never did. So it's not all that surprising that Democrats are impeaching him again for a non-crime. Once it gets to the Senate, it'll be up to, at that point, if Chief Justice John Roberts doesn't do it, then it falls to Kamala Harris. And if she bows out, then it's the president pro tempore of the Senate. But I have a feeling Kamala Harris will want to do it. I mean, this is what gets really crazy. And yes, in the comment section on Facebook and YouTube, we do have... In the description, we do have a fax blast we're running today to stop the GOP traitors from convicting Trump in the Senate. So make sure you check that out in that description. Check it out. Join the fax blast and put pressure on them because there are a lot of Republicans who want Trump to be convicted. But what really, this is what's crazy to me. For 2 weeks, we've heard about the peaceful transfer of power. That's what the left wants. Peaceful transfer of power. We want a peaceful transfer of power. What did we just have yesterday? We had no civilians allowed at the inauguration. The inauguration was surrounded by razor wire, 30,000 troops, right? Only dignitaries. Now, what are we talking about today? We're talking about the peaceful transition of power, being the new vice president presiding over a bogus BS trial to convict a previous president. I don't want to ever hear anyone say peaceful transfer of power because having to be inaugurated behind razor wire with guns pointed at the civilian population, that is not peaceful transfer of power. To hear Nancy Pelosi and allegedly D.C. Mayor Bowser request crew-served machine guns, which, as we mentioned yesterday, those are machine guns that cannot be fired continuously with one person. You need another person to change out ammunition, another person to swap barrels because it fires so frequently that if they don't switch the barrel out, it'll melt and the bullets won't be accurate anymore. There's no such thing as a peaceful transfer of power when one party wants to have crew-serviced machine guns pointed against civilians. But that's the left, right? The left, it's all about projection to the left. The left accuses Republicans of doing what they themselves are doing. That is the name of the game. We have another caller on the line. We have Jenny. She wants to know what happens if Biden is removed. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hi, Max. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, like with his mental state that he's just a patsy and they'll get rid of him. But I'm trying to figure out their angle because once Harris is president, how do they decide who is the vice president at that point?
So it's a good question. So anyone who's ever seen the show Designated Survivor or anyone who's ever looked at the presidential line of succession knows that there is a line of succession. So after the president, if the president becomes incapacitated, the vice president becomes president. If that person becomes incapacitated as well, then it goes to the Speaker of the House, right? Then it goes to the president pro tempore of the Senate. Then it goes down through the cabinet. So if Kamala Harris, which it would have to be her, she would have to initiate a 25th Amendment process to remove Joe Biden from office for being mentally unfit. She would require a majority of the cabinet to do it. Then it gets a little murkier. They'd have to submit it to Congress. Joe Biden could fight it, right? It gets very murky that way. But if she was to succeed and she would become president and Joe Biden's gone, he's 25th Amendment, he's out. What would then happen is Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, wouldn't automatically become vice president. Kamala Harris in that situation would then nominate a vice president and it would be up to Congress to approve it. The only way that Nancy Pelosi would ever become president is for whatever reason, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris both either were killed or became incapacitated at the same time, or in quick succession. That's the only way you really get to
what are your thoughts on who she would pick?
I don't know. It might be Bernie Sanders. She might pick Nancy Pelosi. I don't know. I do know that there were too many instances of Joe Biden referring to her as president-elect or running for president,
right,
to just believe that that's not even a conversation. Joe Biden gave a speech in Delaware where he actually talked about his imminent demise. I'm pretty confident from public reporting, from what we've seen and heard, that these are probably discussions being had. I don't know who she would pick. I guarantee it wouldn't be anyone close to being a conservative. It wouldn't be a moderate. It would be someone in her same vein, one of the more liberal members of the Senate or the House.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was just bugging me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we don't know, right? We don't know who she would pick. I do know, though, that you wouldn't get to a Nancy Pelosi unless both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were to become incapacitated or killed, either at the same time or
right, but I know, I think they have thought about this and they have a person in mind. I was just trying to see if you had thoughts on who that would be.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I'm pretty sure that even Biden, for if this comes to happen, which I'm sure it will, I'm sure he would even be bought out. Like, you know what I mean? Because he's so easily.
No, it's definitely possible. Definitely possible. Well, thank you so much for the call. It's a question that we've gotten a lot. Don't have a solid answer for it, but nothing good would come from that, right? Joe Biden will not name a single Republican to his cabinet, so there's no possibility in any kind of scenario with a line of succession for a Republican to become president anymore until either Republicans take control of the House or take control of the Senate. Again, it's just complete Democrat governance right now. Pretty scary. On DLive, this made me laugh. User Moon Shrooms just posted, someone should just say, "I am incapacitated" into Joe Biden's earpiece, and he will mindlessly repeat out loud, "I am incapacitated." Yeah, that's one way. That's certainly one way that they could trigger the 25th Amendment for him. Just whisper in his ear, "I am incapacitated," and him being the senile old man that he is will just repeat it. That made me chuckle. We have another caller on the line. Pam wants to know how the left has gotten away with so many unconstitutional actions without punishment. Pam, welcome to the show.
Hi, Max. Thank you for having me. This is ludicrous to me. I'm flabbergasted that Max, it's over half the population.
It is.
Is looking at this going, what the hell is going on? Excuse my language.
Yeah. No, it's fine. That's fine.
But
yeah, no, I saw one poll that suggested that Joe Biden right now, we'll have to wait. Rasmussen won't do their poll until, I believe, they do a 3-day average for their daily tracking poll. So we won't have a first poll from Biden for Biden's approval rating until Friday. But I did see a poll that suggested that Joe Biden is already underwater in his approval, with 47% approve, 48% disapprove. So they made sure to talk about that during Trump's early parts of his term, his disapproval rating. I'm not shocked. I know why. But if the media was even close to being honest, they would give Joe Biden the same treatment. But yesterday we saw very hard-hitting questions from their press conference asking, and this is one of the questions, has Joe Biden thought about changing the colors for Air Force One? And Psaki said, that's a very good question. I'll have to ask. I'll ask him. I mean, it's I don't know how we got here. We live in a world of complete double standards where the media goes hard after Republicans, easy on Democrats, where members of Congress go hard after Trump, but they ignore constitutional violations or illegality from Democrats. I don't know how anyone thinks this is okay, but we had this during the Obama years, right? We had this during the Obama years where the head of the IRS was actually caught destroying evidence under a protection order back when they were going after the investigation into Lois Lerner, right? Targeting those conservative organizations. They destroyed stuff under a congressional protection order. Same with Hillary Clinton. She deleted her hard drives. She bleach-bitted her hard drives under a protection order from the United States Congress. I guarantee you if Donald Trump did anywhere close to that during the Mueller investigation, he'd already be in jail.
I just don't know
how they could possibly do the 180, but they're already doing it.
Oh, it's so disgusting. And, you know, I really think that the high-ranking Democrats are the ones pushing all this. I don't even think, I mean, I have friends of mine who are Democrats, and we just don't have conversations about politics. But they're clueless as to what's going on. I don't think, we've got four kids, and, you know, I've even got a couple of them that voted the other way, and I just can't talk to them. It's you know, it's almost like they brainwashed our kids that are in their 20s, you know, between the social media and what they put out there on mainstream media, and they just don't see the big picture. And I don't think the Democrats that are out there that are level-headed people, I don't think they're engaged and see, you know, what they're trying to pull over us.
Well, what the Democrats have done a very good job at is convincing people to care about issues that really, in the grand scheme of things, don't matter. The fact that there is a non-zero number of Americans who consider their first issue to be transgender bathroom rights or transgendered men playing in women's sports, the fact that there's a non-zero number of Americans who believe that that is the most important issue in the country and that Joe Biden would sign an executive order on his first day, right? It's just insane to me. I mean, we covered it at the top of the show. By canceling the Keystone Pipeline, canceling the border wall, combined, that has eliminated an estimated 52,000 jobs. How can anyone claim to be a president for all Americans and with two strokes of the pen get rid of 52,000 jobs and over $2 billion of payroll? I don't get it.
No, I don't either. I went to a meeting that we had here locally Monday evening, which was just, you know, a bunch of conservatives that just got together to put our heads together. And we actually had our congresswoman there who represents our district. And, you know, the biggest thing is we've got to start getting involved at the local level. The one thing I know here in Maricopa County, Arizona, you know, there's 1,400 openings for in the Republican precincts. Do you know how many openings there are in the Democrat precincts? Zero.
How many?
And they've got a waiting list. They don't have any openings, and they have a wait list of people waiting to get in. So the Democrats are much more engaged. I think the Republicans, you know, we've taken a back seat and we've kind of just let politics be politics and not gotten, I mean, I'm speaking for myself and, you know, some of the people I know, we've reached a point where we all have to step up and we all have to get involved and hear our voices. We've got to stand together and get our voices heard.
Well, I completely agree. I completely agree. We have to work together. We have to stay working together, and we have to stay talking, communicating with each other, because these are going to be hard times. We're going to need to lean on each other, work together to get through them, and we're going to have to work together to fight back and push back through the noise and through the lies.
Yeah, for moms and, you know, guys out there working, and I'm not saying, you know, women who are out there working, you get with people who are like-minded thinkers, and you start getting together and having coffees and chats and, you know, figure out, you know, and stay tight.
Yeah. Absolutely important. We got to let you go because we're coming up towards the end of our 2-hour show, but thank you so much for the call. Really, really do appreciate it. We got a little bit of news. Someone just posted in the comment section asking if we had been taken down from Spotify. That would have been news to me because no one had told us that. But Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. They have taken our show off of Spotify without any notice, without anything. If we search for Conservative Daily in any of the search bars, I'll just type right here, Conservative Daily. Search there. No results for Conservative Daily. So they've just completely taken us down. Gone. No warning. No idea why. Which tells me that there are people who are now advocating for us to be taken down. I mentioned the AP. I'll go ahead and put that up. AP, see if I can find the article. The Associated Press is advocating for, here we go. From the Associated Press, extremists exploit loophole, get away here, in social moderation podcasts. And they used Spotify right here as a thing. So obviously there is someone who just contacted Spotify and told them to take us down. Interesting. I didn't see that coming. It must have happened just in the last day. But obviously anyone who listened to us on Spotify, I hope that they find us on one of the other platforms that we're on. I hope that this isn't indicative of a larger ban hammer coming down because you look at what we've been saying. I mean, you guys yell at me for having to use words like allegedly, having to stop Joe from making certain claims. No one can make an argument that our show is an offender against any of the terms of service that they've come out since the election, since the Capitol storming. And yet I have a feeling that they are going to try and take us down for that same reason, claim that we do things that we don't actually do. So we'll keep your updated on that. That was news to me. Thank you to whoever just brought that up. I appreciate that. And we'll have to figure out how to make sure that we are safe everywhere else, because I guarantee they're probably going to go after our host as well. Interesting. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Remember, if you like the podcast, make sure you subscribe to other places, not Spotify, but we are still on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Podbean. We go live Monday through Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and DLive. Make sure you check that out. We're also on Rumble, rumble.com/user/conservative daily, all one word. We will be on Parler when it goes back up online at Conservative Daily, so make sure you check that out. If you text the word freedom to 89517, you'll receive text alerts when our podcast goes live. There's also a link in our description to join our email newsletter. Very important that you do those two things. Even if you listen to a podcast on a certain platform, now that we've just been banned apparently from Spotify, very important that you go about and sign up for our email newsletter, sign up for our text alerts, because the platform that you rely on to listen and watch us might not let us on. So the way you stay up to date is by joining that newsletter, that text alert system as well. And yes, again, we are on DLive. If you haven't already gone over there, make sure you check us out there and follow just to make sure. Yep, we crossed over 700 followers today. Excellent. Thank you, everyone on DLive, for watching us. It's a decent platform. They demonetized us, but at least they're letting us broadcast there. And we will have more updates on the IPO as we get them. We want to get out of these other platforms as soon as possible. So as soon as we have more updates, and especially how you can donate, we will let you know. Well, that is going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Again, my name is Max McGuire. Remember, everyone, that the fight to take back our country clearly isn't over, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.